Bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show from the British Tech Network, the first official one. I know we've had a couple of trial runs before, and last week's was going to be one of those trialing, devastating, but we're back. The tech's working at the moment. That may not hold true for the rest of the show, but we'll have to wait and see. I'm here to discuss the week in Macintosh, as it's been for the British network here. Joining me, great panel, one of the original team, Mr. Will Green. How you doing, mate?
I'm very well. Yourself?
You're not very well.
I don't sound very well, do I?
You know, you sound like crap, dude.
You know, you get used to saying I'm very well. I'm not actually very well at all. I'm very poorly.
What have you been doing?
Very, very poorly. Oh, you know, if this was a pantomime, I'd have got a big R then, wouldn't I?
Oh no, you're not.
I used to do a cabaret thing, and the opening of the cabaret was we were a crappy duo, and Chris would say, "Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Good evening. I've probably got some bad news. Will isn't feeling very well." And like this. And then I'd say, "Well, how are you feeling, Chris?" And then we'd do this, "Dun, dun, 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 I feel good." And that was the opening of the set.
Oh, that's
which
nice.
Is pretty cheesy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but it's okay, that's fine. You have burnt down places and been thrown out of places, so par for the course. Next to him, we've got Mr. Andy Lee, our developer and new star of the iOS show.
Hey, mate, how's it going?
It's all right, mate. We're doing an iOS show. You've done a pilot, I gather.
We've done the pilot. Paul's putting it together. Had a bit of a problem with my end of it. Couldn't get into my Mac power supply guide.
We're developers doing a story on iOS, but I couldn't get into the Mac. Oh, dear.
Yeah. Well, power supply died, and that was that, basically.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Well, I'm no one to talk because I've had a hard drive failure this week. And,
Maybe.
Thank you to Apple. Apple are brilliant in terms of customer services. I just went into the White City store and said, "Have no OS, please help." And they did. They installed Lion-On for me. No questions asked. Thank you very much. The benefits of being a business customer. Have that number, will travel. Mm. And next to him, Mr. Swagger, how are you? iPad
Cheerio.
Owner.
Yes, yes. I got. I overpaid twice the price here in Manila. Loving every bit of it.
Your wife said you were smiling when you left the store and felt like you loved it more than her for a while.
Yeah, just for a little bit. Just for a little bit. By the time we were home, you know, I let her play with it a little bit. So all was forgiven.
Oh, very good. Good week.
Good week. Busy week. Busy particularly week. Today. I was just all over the place today. So it's, but I actually made it home. In time with traffic and all.
You do the voiceovers for the NBA. Are you doing the March Over Madness here, yeah. thing as well in NCAA?
No. Unfortunately, no. It's part of our. It's on a different channel here, but it's part of the same people I work with. But no, I'm not fortunate enough to do that. We're purely NBA, so okay. Unfortunately, but it's okay. I'm hoping. Come on, KU. I'm going for my Jayhawks.
And last, but by no means least whatsoever, Wee Willy Winky. Tom Merritt, how you doing, mate?
I'm doing well, thanks. Sorry about bailing on you last week. I have no good excuse.
Least of my worries, mate. Absolutely the least of my worries. It was fine. You're here in an official capacity. You're an honored guest, and you're going to crack the champagne over the bows of the network later.
Yeah, I'm very excited. British Tech Mac, I'm having some tea this morning.
You got the Willow Cake Cups.
Official royal wedding tea. I've got my celebratory souvenirs.
Oh, look at this. It's a home
Welsh
from
flag
home.
Behind me.
Have you got a bowler hat?
I wish I had a bowler hat. Yeah, that would complete it.
Yeah, no, welcome, mate, welcome. We did actually go out for dinner with a group of Windows developers on Tuesday night, and one of the guys produced his Oyster card, and he was ashamed to show that it had dispensed him a Will and Kate Oyster card. And the rest of us got the standard blue ones that, you know, macho, but he's got a Will and Kate one. So he had the piss taken out of him pretty
bad. I suppose that's meant to be a big perk, right? But then, no.
No. You, yeah. you, I mean, if you've got a Will and Kate Oyster card, you swap it for a new one, pay the £5, be done with it. But you certainly don't pull it out in front of a group of guys at a dinner.
It's a money-making scheme.
Oh, no. No, 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 no. The week in Apple, the winner of the 25 billionth application got flown to Beijing at Apple's cost. And wouldn't you know it, Tim's visiting. Isn't that incredible? And he's having dinner with the mayor of China, or the mayor of Saigon, a place in China, Beijing. And they had lunch together, and it was all hunky-dory. And then he went and visited Foxconn. We've also got Australia putting a clamp on the 4G advertising, and the UK are now looking at it as well, which hasn't gone particularly brilliant. Ubisoft has said that future iOS games are going to allow synchronization. And I've got to say, since Angry Birds came out, Space, this week, I've been playing that, and it's really hacked me off that I've got to start and do every level from the beginning. So I'm definitely up for that one. And there's also been the Microsoft Courier tablet type thing for Tapas has come out, which I think we're going to have a chat about, but a lot of people have just taken the mickey out of. The week in Apple then. So shall we start with Tim's tour? Because there's a bit of a furore still going on over the conditions and so on at Foxconn. Is the American public and the British public bothered about buying their products from a company that doesn't have a social ethic over that kind of production standards and techniques and use of labour and all that kind of thing, or is it not really bothered?
That pretty much says it right there.
Not really bothered.
There we go. Okay, just give me the shiny.
This is huge, right? I mean, there's all this fury about I don't want to have the blood diamond of electronics and all of that, but there's also a lot of debate over, well, is Apple actually the worst? I mean, is this just the way business is done in China, and Apple happens to be the most prominent tech company and the most valuable company? So they're the focus of this. And when Tim Cook was in China yesterday, the FLA, the Fair Labor Organization, or administration, I guess, gave their report out saying that, you know, they did find that long hours were probably the biggest violation, and they're going to work with Foxconn. Foxconn has sworn to, by July 2013, staff up so they don't have to work people 60 hours a week regularly. They're going to clean up some of the conditions in the dorms. But the FLA didn't really find anything terribly damning from what I read.
I guess I'm just thinking long hours. I mean, I'm at a project at the moment where I'm only just turning up and doing a couple of hours here and there, taking a few photographs. But the people that are working there are doing 80-hour plus weeks. One of the guys is in the same hotel as me, and I'm like, hey, do you want to have a beer tonight, Michael? And he's like, maybe. I'm trying to be back for the football. Football doesn't kick off till 9 p.m., and the guy's leaving when I'm going in to breakfast at 7 a.m., And you sit and think they're kicking the crap for long hours in China. It's all over. I mean, America's got a history of doing long hours, no?
No, it used to, yes. I think. I mean, we used to. You know, and the Industrial Revolution and all that sort of stuff in the 20s, the Roaring 20s and all those kind of things. I mean, but this is what you get, though, when you have a communist country. They kind of dictate what they're going to do, aren't they? And a little bit... Go ahead.
I just want to interject. They are actually breaking Chinese law is the other thing the FLA found. China says you can have a maximum of 36 hours overtime per week, and they were going over that.
Oh, right.
And so even with the what you're talking about with the, you know, the communist country and those laws that encourage long hours, they're even breaking those laws. But go ahead.
Go on, Will.
Sorry, it's all about time zones, isn't it? There's a confusion with time zones.
Why?
Well, they said, you know, we started at 9 o'clock and we finish at 10, so we've only worked an hour. But they start like at 9 GMT and finish at 10 Eastern time or something. That's what it's all about. That's the problem.
That's where we've been going wrong, mate.
It's all about that.
The time zones should stand still and the earth should move.
It's all about that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they haven't actually worked 10 hours at all, whatever it is. It's pretty, I don't know, this sort of stuff has been leveled at Apple for a long time, and I don't know why people pick on Apple in particular when I'm sure there's far worse people to... I think Apple have been so successful and so in the public eye that they're just picked out as a... Doesn't everybody get their tech manufactured by Foxconn and other Chinese manufacturers? It's just continuous.
Is it Quanta make something like 90% of the world's laptops?
Apparently
the world now is going to run on green mean time, which I like that one. That's the new time zone right there. Now, I mean, I think the point here is that Apple isn't saying we don't care who you buy. They do say that they're bothered. They don't want their stuff being made by kids. They're also not the people that are... They're placing orders with what they believe to be responsible companies. And if the companies are acting irresponsibly, if there's an influence from Apple, fair enough, that's good. But it's not Apple's fault, surely.
Exactly. I mean, you took the words out of my mouth. I mean, when you turn on CNN or it makes a great headline. Ooh, Apple's labor force, you know. That's what I get a bit sick and tired of seeing with these companies is, well, let's go after the big dog, which would be Apple, which is tied to it. I understand that they want to make it a good on paper, good for publicity, but it all really points to Foxconn of how they're actually treating these workers. And that's what I wish we would see a little bit more as far as how the story is actually presented, because a lot of people start getting a bad taste. Oh, how dare Apple do that? Well, it's not really completely Apple's fault. They're just hiring these people as contractors to make, you know, lovely little iPads, lovely little iPhones, and all the stuff that we buy. You know, it's funny enough, though, because I did see on CNN today, somebody was being interviewed about, or not really interviewed, but they were interviewed about this. And they actually say that these people want to work longer hours. They need to work longer hours. So to me, that also says something as well.
Where's my $20 anyway, Kyle?
You got till May. He's got till May to wait, mate.
Are you sure about it? I thought it was April.
No, it's May. He did say May. I'll back him up there. It's May. At the end of May, if there's no Apple TV announced, you win $20 off him, and so does an Echo.
We have this conversation every single week.
Well, it's, I'm looking.
But Will's never been a debt collector before, in it, has he?
I booked a holiday on the basis of my $20.
Yeah, that's the thing. You see, Greeny's all lightness, isn't he? When he's not owed money, but as soon as you owe him a bit of cash, mate, that's it. He turns into a till of the hun.
I've spent about 200 times so far.
Screw you, Swagger. Pay me.
What's $20? $20 US dollars?
$20 US dollars. Yeah.
Well, his name's Green. What do you expect?
Yeah, greenbacks. Good man.
Is he US dollars?
He just wants US dollars. $20. Well, would you? Still worth something. That's why he wants it now.
Yeah, hurry.
He can pay you 20 Filipino pesos, but that wouldn't buy you a penny chew, I don't think.
I've been on this show for a while. What's the opinion on the old Apple TV new interface? Personally, I think it's, well, I don't want to say what I think it is, but I don't like it very much.
Sucks.
Yes. Three sucks. Andy?
I'm liking it, actually.
Oh, give up.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
I think it's funny that Jobs rejected it 5 years ago. I mean, to me, that was the story. You know, that's the thing that makes me go, huh? You know, of course, I think a part of the article what we seen was they're trying to make it look more like iOS. iOS is more appealing to people, so I can understand that the direction that they're going. But it is funny that Jobs said 5 years ago it sucks. So.
But it's not changed though. It's only the front page.
Oh, it's terrible. Exactly. Have you noticed? It's like a blue outline. To outline which icon you're on, but a lot of the icons are blue anyway, so you don't know which bloody icon you're on. It's terrible, and you have to scroll down the screen, and it's just awful.
I mean,
I don't mind it at all. I find it. I went from the first gen Apple TV to this one, and just upgraded, and so maybe that's why, you know, because I've been living 5 years in the past. But I, you know, once you click through, it's all the same. Menu structure and everything. In fact, I love that here in the US, Netflix, you actually get the Apple menu structure instead of the horrid Netflix infrastructure. Mm. And I like having those big, bright icons. I haven't noticed any problem being able to highlight the knowing which icon I'm highlighted on, though. So I guess maybe that varies by TV.
Will's TV's run by Steam, maybe. So he gets saturation issues. I mean, no, but the thing is...
Thank you very much.
You're the man that needs a set of pliers to open your fridge door.
A screwdriver.
Actually. I get it wrong every time. Sorry. But the thing that gets me is front row was a dog for finding anything. If you've got 500 movies on your server that you've ripped your DVD collection and things like that, finding the movie, even when you know the name, is just a pain in the arse with front row. And front row is the system that's on there. And they've got this new interface. But behind the first menu, it's front row. It's just as bad.
Yeah. Well, thank God for XBMC.
You go on.
Thank God. I said, thank God for which XBMC.
Just, yeah, which just got an interface update.
Yeah.
Thank God for XBMC, that's what I say.
What are you saying, Will? You're a Plex man.
What is XBMC?
Xbox Media Center.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Xbox Media Center. It's an open source program you can put on the Apple TV. You can put it on a lot of different devices.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, break your warranty at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
But who cares? At least it's worth it.
At least you find your movie.
Yeah, right.
So we finished the shiny thing with the purchasing from Apple, I guess. The only thing I was thinking was, is this a kind of bit of let them eat cake type of thing? Is it a human nature thing that we've done for several thousand years, that the rich always look down on the poor and they like to make themselves feel bad about it once in a while? You know, we issue stories that make us feel we shouldn't feel happy about our brand new shiny thing that we just got, just because we do that a lot. We do it with a lot. It's a very British thing to do as well, actually.
Drag it back to the depressing story, I would.
Yeah, all right, and fair enough. What's the uplifting story for you guys this week then, eh? The uplifting iTunes story, or Apple story.
Mm.
Yeah, see?
iTunes got an update.
Bug squashes, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what bugs did it squash exactly? Because I didn't notice any bugs with 10.6, so.
I think there was a beetle in there, and a ladybug, and I think a grasshopper.
The grasshopper bug. Now, yeah, that's what the noise was in the background. Got you.
Yeah.
Two stories that Will and Tom, you were talking about these before we started. The Microsoft-inspired iPad Tapose debut, and Paper, the next great iPad app. For the way you were talking, it didn't sound like Paper was the next great iPad app, though.
No, I like Paper. In fact, I like it much better than Tapose. Tapose is kind of buggy and kind of complicated, but Paper, I don't know if you can see that, real simple, very Apple-like, actually. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you go in, and it has very simple tool menu, so you just have one fountain pen that you get, and then it does in-app purchases. So it's free for the app, and then you pay $1.99 if you want to get extra pens. And it goes by motion. The faster you go, the thicker the line.
Right.
And that's it. You get a piece of paper, you draw on it. They tried to make the paper work like real paper. I can't draw for crap. And I actually drew something you might even be able to tell what it looks like. So
mm-hmm. That's okay.
I'm all excited.
Well, you've got-
what is it? What have you drawn?
I said might. I didn't say okay. Could.
Is that, that's only because of video delay, Tom. No, don't worry.
What is it, though?
It's a bloke sat in front of a computer, isn't it?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, see, with big ears.
It's an elephant.
I got the big ears bit as well. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Did you draw that with a stylus?
No.
Fingers. See, there's a lot of artistic stuff there where the line is getting thicker and thinner at point to point from end to end. So that's really cool.
Yeah, that's based on the speed with which your finger goes. The slower you go, the thinner it is, faster it gets thicker.
Very good. What's the price on that, Tom?
Like I said, app's free.
Free.
And then you get a fountain pen. If you want to buy other types of pens, they're $1.99 each.
Oh, whatever happened to the days of a pencil that's, you know, a penny?
Just saying. Penny pencil. Yeah. Now, they're $1.99
now. Can they
now.
Do that? Yeah.
Now, what's Paper got over Tapose then? What's inferior within Tapose?
With Tapose just seems buggy to me and cluttered. Like, you have this incredibly intricate tutorial that you have to go through the first time you open it. And it sounds like there's cool stuff, but I'm like, I don't have time to learn all this right now. Where Paper, it's one of those things where you open it up and you're like, oh, okay, I get how this works pretty much immediately.
Well, why is that then? Is it because it's just a white page and you've got a pen?
Yeah. You know how to draw?
It's so intuitive. It's amazing.
You're on your way.
Give my 3-year-old sus that.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair to Tapose, it is, yeah, it's more complicated, but it does so much more. You can just, like, you can drag it. I mean, it does crash. I know it crashes a lot.
What does it do more? Well, it crashes a lot. And... Well,
it's the key thing with it, really. It's a proper multitasking app. So it's almost like a small iOS in itself. you can sort of drag on a calculator, you can drag on a web page, you can drag on a photo.
Hey, look, it's Will. It's Will.
See, that's how I draw in Tapose right there.
Oh, well, that's Will. That's I'm sorry, Tom, that's crap.
See?
Yeah, see. The other one was good.
But, I mean, it's Tapose is so much more than just a rubbishy blank piece of paper that you draw on. It is a proper productivity tool. It's a word processor. It's you can even drag in contact cards. You can bring in maps for $1.99. It's pretty amazing. And I think the backstory that we've missed is it was based on a Microsoft concept from about 2 years ago.
Well, this was where the courier tablet was supposed to come from, wasn't it?
Geez, no wonder why it crashes. No, I know.
Yeah, but paper is also the parts of the courier team. So that's what's interesting about this is both of the apps are different outgrowths from that project.
And one crashes and the other doesn't.
Mm.
So far.
Mm.
No, I have a feeling Tapose will get updates. It'll get less buggy. It'll get less crashy. And you're right, Will. I mean, it. You know, for the price of one pen in paper, you get this, you know, wealth of different kinds of functions. It's all about what you want to do with it.
It was one of the original guys who designed the Macintosh interface. I can't remember his name. Designed an app, and I interviewed him, and I can't remember his name now. And he created a very similar sort of project that was all about using your finger to write, you know, like as in a traditional notebook. And I can't remember the name of the baby.
Was it Kaki? Yeah,
no. No, I think the app was, his name was pretty standard, sort of. Oh, I can't remember. I should be able to. Shouldn't
Smith.
I? Shall I look into it? Yeah, it was John Smith.
That's Green.
But you know, he was one of the original Mac interface chaps, and so he's designed. I think he wasn't behind HyperCard, but oh, it doesn't matter. I shouldn't start talking if I can't back up.
I've got to say, Will, I'm absolutely completely and utterly lost as to what the intention of the story was though as well.
Nor am I really.
Okay, right. We'll move on then, eh?
But it was a similar application that came out back in the day. You know, when the iPad first came out, and it was a pretty, and it still is, and he keeps building on it. Oh, shut up, shall I?
Oh, I love having you on the show, mate.
I can't remember.
So special.
Thank you.
Now I had a thing this week. I bought a thing for me daughter for the iPad, like a maths program, and I gave it to her to play, and she loves it. It cost me £2.99, so it wasn't cheap, and I gave it to her. And when she finished, she brings it up and she gets little stars at the end of the levels. And it's got 10 sub-games in level one. And she comes up and shows me the star and says, here you go. And I look at it and I said, right, let's do level two. And I press level two. And level two says, no, hang on. It's another £2.99, please. And there's 10 levels. And I'm like, oh, you gits. And I went back and looked at the webpage. And I won't say what it is because I don't want to give them any publicity, but also they hadn't misled me because the stuff was there. It did say that the levels were charged separately, but it's quite small and on the left-hand side. And it just made a conversation that me and Will had about 3 months ago about in-app purchasing come out. And I think that Apple's got a real issue at the moment with in-app purchasing because everyone's talking about that's where the money is, but the deceit that's taking place to gain in-app purchases, I find very un-Apple-esque and very deceitful. Is there an issue over? I mean, Will, what was the game that you were saying that you got for Marwood? Oh, it was a stupid price.
They did a free version and a paid version, and they were exactly the same to begin with. So I thought, well, if I buy the paid version, I'll get rid of the adverts. The adverts, etc., were still in the second in the paid version, which hacked me off. Then, if you wanted to buy extra ingredients for the burger, it was ridiculously money. It was like 58 quid for a lettuce leaf or something like that. And it was purely aimed at children who don't understand the concept of money to press the, you know, buy now in-app purchase thing, hoping that a recent purchase maybe had been made recently and that the password was still there. Or I don't know if that works that way, but at least the child might know their mum or dad's password. And it was just proper criminal. And it makes me laugh that Apple kick out these apps that, you know, like that. I mean, there's some great apps that they kick out because of silly stuff like, oh, that MAME arcade game the other day, they kicked it out for... I mean, what harm was that causing? But they allow games in that are just... It's proper theft. It reminds me of those... It doesn't matter. I'll move on from that. I was going to regale a tale about Soho, but I don't think I will.
On the grounds you may end up divorced afterwards.
Yes. But anyway, yeah, it's terrible, terrible. I'll give you the Soho story at the end if you want it.
Oh, okay, after we finish recording. The other one that was there was Let's Golf 3 came out this year, and that was freely given. So I thought, great, because Let's Golf 2 was great. And it had a little thing over your energy, and the golfer would start huffing and puffing, and you had to wait for an energy pill, and you had to wait 20 minutes before you could play your next shot. Or you could buy energy pills, how convenient. But the energy pills came up at £69.
£69?
Pounds. That's the thing. We're not talking pennies here. Will's lettuce leaf was £65. Will's burger, the special burger that you could make up with, was £65. It's not... we're not talking penny applications here, or add another 10 pence, add another 99 pence. There's applications out in the App Store that are approved by Apple, which are to the point of criminal deceit, I would suggest.
Well, now, you said that the kids app told you, like, hey, you will have to pay £2.99 if you want to do the levels.
Yeah,
but these other ones have not.
They
sort of hide the fact that you need to pay £60 for a pill.
Yeah. I mean, let's go.
And you have National Health. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely. Never mind Obamacare. This thing was Let's Golf 3, and it was either £39 or £69. I'm pretty sure it was £69, but the golfer wouldn't play a shot, you know, for 20 minutes. You had to switch your phone off and then come back to it if you want to carry on playing. And the way that they got you to then drag you into the next purchase was you bought one of these pills, and the pills were £69. And you were like, Let's Golf 2... cost me £5.99. Fantastic game. Played it loads. I've got it on the Mac. I've got it on the iOS device, and I loved it. And this came out, I was like, instantly, wow, free. I'm going to have that. Okay, there's never going to be something free. There's going to be something behind it. And I just bought Tiger Woods Golf. And Tiger Woods Golf, you can play for free, and you can slowly earn your money, or you can buy £1 million and buy all your additions for £7.99. But then that's it. That's the end of purchase, and you could go back. And if you reinstalled the game, it gave you your £7.99 back again. You didn't have to repurchase it all. That's fine. That's good value for money. But yeah, I think there's a lot of applications are working out there on the basis that mum and dad put in the number for the passcode, and then... within 15 minutes, the game has now started to ask for an authorization for payment for something, and it's already there.
Reminds me of Facebook games. You know, it's more of a... I think it does target adults too. We won't just put the kids in there because it's kind of like an addiction thing. You know, I know particularly people with like the Facebook games, Cafe World, they have this incentive that, I need this now, or they have these goals I know that are in Cafe World, and it becomes addicting. In a roundabout way. I kind of agree with you. I think Apple really does need to look at this stuff. Screw the Foxconn thing. Let's look at this.
Well, the argument runs that the games that are abusive with the 69-pound pills are not going to succeed. People will just, they'll delete them, and then they'll go use the good games like Tiger Woods. And so the marketplace will get rid of all of the bad actors. But that's only if you know what's going on. Or like you say, if it's children's games, and you're paying attention, and you say, okay, well, within 15 minutes, I got to make sure this doesn't ask, you know, my child for some sort of in-app payment. I think those are the kinds of things it's incumbent upon Apple to make sure there's not actual fraud and deceptive practices. If it's just ridiculous in-app charging, though, I don't think Apple should get in the way. It's like, you know, let people charge what they want. Marketplace will figure out, because people will say, I'm not going to do that. As long as they're not being tricked, as long as you know what you're getting into, I think it's okay.
Yeah, I guess I can agree with that. Yeah, as long as you're not being tricked. Because I guess as a consumer, you have to be a smart consumer, not do stupid things. You can't... I agree with that, actually. But
I don't agree at all. It's because they're not trying to trick adults. They're not actually trying to trick anybody in a sense that they're not expecting an adult to pay £69. What they are expecting is for the child to click buy because they don't understand the value of £59 or £69. It's purely aimed at children who are presented with a fun, colourful game, who click the buy now to buy an extra piece of cheese for their burger for the best part of £60. It's disgraceful. It's not aimed at adults. It purely is aimed at taking advantage of a naive child.
Well, in the case of the golf game, it was aimed at adults. I think what you're talking about is the kind of thing that is fraud, that is deceptive, when you're saying, like, you're hiding the fact that a piece of cheese cost you that much and it's a kid's game. Then I think I agree with you, Will. I think Apple does have the right to get in there and say, now, wait a minute, this is deceptive. This is a trick.
Maybe they should, maybe they should look at doing some sort of, games that are aimed at a certain audience of, say, you know, up to 12 years old or something like that. They should say, aren't allowed to include in-app purchases of above a certain amount. Or I don't know, there must be some way of being able to control
it. Require the password every time or something like that.
Well, you can set it, and you can set it yourself. I mean, you can go in there and disallow in-app purchases. You can go in and allow purchases of new apps, and you can go in and tell iOS to request the password every time. But that's not set as default. And I just think morally, it's disgraceful.
Oh, yeah, morally it is disgraceful, but that's exactly what these people don't have. They don't have any morals, you know. I think the only thing we could probably do until Apple does do anything is, I don't have any kids, but I guess as parents, you have to do the parent thing. Keep an eye on the kid, unfortunately, or don't buy the game. It does suck, though. You're right. It is misleading, and they're hoping that child's going to pick that. But at the same time, I guess watch your kids. That's all I can say.
Blimey, we're a barrel of laughs this afternoon.
it's Foxconn's fault.
It is. I've just bought a new MacBook Pro, and I was loving it up until the hard drive crashed this weekend. Don't buy Kingston. Don't buy Kingston. They're crap. And Apple have now decided that there's supposedly going to be a release of 13 and 15-inch MacBooks coming in June. It's a rumor, admittedly, but are we going to say no? There's not going to be a new one in June, or is that right?
There's not going to be a new one for you in June.
No, there definitely isn't going to be one for me.
New one for you in?
I mean, the other thing was, there was the talk about the 15-inch Air becoming a staple product. Does anyone see that as realistic?
I had a meeting with some chaps, one of the UK's biggest Mac guys, distributors. They've been established for like 32 years, so it shows you how big they are. And their Mac sales are nothing. And the only sort of sustainable or profitable Mac sale platform is the MacBook Air. So I could see in sort of 5 years the iMac going away, and just people either want iOS or they want a very lightweight Mac that really is going to be very similar to iOS soon anyway. So I think the distinction between a Mac and like an iPad is quickly eroding, and I think the iMac will be the next victim.
The iMac is going to be the next victim.
I think so, but from what I've sort of learned sort of in the industry, the sales of the iMac are plummeting, and it's the only Mac sales that are growing is the MacBook Air.
Ooh, so it's been 254 days since the last MacBook Air, so we're about ready, due.
We're due for one, yeah.
I mean, the interesting thing I found there is, I mean, I would have said that the iMac was a very popular computer amongst families, particularly, you know, it's classic thing. It looks good in the in the lounge. You haven't got to be ashamed of it and throw a cover over it if people come to visit. And, you know, it's the thing you can congregate around and use. And a couple of the listeners I know have got 27-inch iMacs that are usually as TVs with TV tuners in them. I'm surprised that the iMac's dying. Anyone else?
I'm not surprised at all. I think Apple is starting to become more hands-on devices. You're looking at MacBook Air. You're looking at your iPads, iPhones, all this stuff that's more of a personal consumption of how you want to have your media. And I think the family is doing that now. It used to be that you'd have the family computer, you'd go over to the family, and then you know, Sally would use it, then Ben and who else. And I think now it's like, well, no, Sally's got her iPad. Ben's got his iPad. Daddy's got his MacBook Air. I think honestly, I don't know if it's good from a family aspect, but from an Apple aspect, people are buying all these devices. Hence this week that we're seeing that, 51% of the homes in the U.S. all have some type of Apple product in them. I think it's becoming more of that now, more of personal computing consumption than just this huge desktop computer that we've known and grown and loved and now are discarding after 20, 30 years now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What I see is people's only really buying iMacs for office type use. Most people have got either a MacBook, an Air or a Pro or whatever, as well as an iMac, and they're not replacing the iMacs. They're just going with Airs and iPads.
I turn my iMac and I laugh at it.
Why?
Because, well, I speak to it and say, you're dying. You're dying and nobody loves you anymore.
You're an old has-been. You're washed up.
That's what I say.
You'll never fight again.
You're a year old and I hate you. I talk at it like that.
Have you, you've got six, haven't you?
I've got a lot of them. I line them up in a row and I do a Mooney at them and then I just laugh at them like that, maniacally.
Oh, man. So are you trying to get rid of them at all or not?
I think they've got their place. I mean, you get a lot more processing power out of for your pound out of an iMac, I think, than you do out of like a MacBook Air. So I think they've got their place. They've got their place, but the place that they've previously existed was there was no other option really, was there, other than a desktop computer. Now there's alternatives. I think sort of percentage wise, there's very few people that need that extra processing power. So it just sort of makes sense that they'll sort of. I think there'll always be a room, but it's from what I hear, it's they're on the last legs, dead, doomed.
Listening to this conversation, it sort of makes sense, which is the home user, the casual user, probably doesn't want to buy a big appliance like an iMac anymore. They want to get something sexy and slim and nice like a MacBook Air. What I worry about is the Mac Pro going away, because I still see a lot of good uses for a desktop, like a powerful desktop like that. And it seems like there's been indications Apple would get rid of that as well and just laptops.
So go on, Carl. You're saying they definitely are. You've got word from your inside.
No, I don't have word. No, but that's what I've heard for months on end. You know, since even last year we were in hearing this. It makes no sense anymore. I mean, even an iMac barely makes sense anymore. A Mac Mini almost has the same processing power as it does now, and those are much cheaper. And let's face it, a lot of people do look in their wallet nowadays and go, same specs. I'll have that. I already have a monitor. So it's. But yeah, the Pro, I've heard for the longest time, they're only going to be doing customized Pros. They're not going to be anything you can just go in and say, I'll have that, I'll add that, I'll add that. It's going to be for custom.
So online custom only. Online only. Purchase. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I mean, you could get a big cardboard box, spray it silver, and stick a Mac Mini in there, and it pretty much do the same thing, wouldn't it? Ish.
As a Mac Pro?
No.
No, not if you're doing video editing.
I bet if you stick six Mac Minis in a garbage box and spray it silver. How about that then?
That'd work.
You got me there.
As long as you intertwine them all with Thunder Chicken, you're good to go.
In all seriousness, though, I mean, now that we've got, what's that thing called? The Thunderbolt. So the need for internal super graphics cards and stuff like that are becoming less and less where you can, aren't they?
Yeah, if you want to pay $50 for the cables, jeez.
That's a lot.
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. And I don't tell a gamer that, though. They'll kill you for saying that.
The gamers don't use Macs anyway.
Well, that's true.
Well, no, they probably don't. That's fair enough. Odd games.
They probably don't. Although it is funny, though, I think, I guess it's we'll say serious gamer, because I think a lot of people are playing a lot of games on the iPads now. So
fair point.
Yeah, no, the high end gamer, the command
dude.
What?
Dude gamer, the dude gamer.
Absolutely. That gamer. I struggle with, I do a fair bit of video rendering anyway when I'm away. I process photos using Photoshop. And I spoke to a friend of mine who works at the Apple store when I purchased it. And I said, you know, I could really do with carrying an Air. An Air would be really nice. 13-inch Air, i7 processor. The RAM maxes it as much as I can, but I know it only tops out at 4. Is it going to handle Photoshop? And she said, no, it doesn't handle Photoshop. In the higher end stuff, it doesn't work. It doesn't do Final Cut particularly well. It's not going to be any faster than you're probably getting at the moment out of your 2008 MacBook Pro. And that was on that basis alone. I said, right, that's it. I'm buying a brand new MacBook Pro and not an Air. But I'd have loved to carry it around something, you know, 15 mil thick and so on. But they've got to do something with the Air to give it more RAM, more hard disk space, and a lot more punch than it currently has before people will really start to see it as a viable alternative to MacBook Pro, sure.
Well, that's the thing. People are using it for that purpose of buying MacBook Pro still.
They're using it for what?
People are using it for video editing, Photoshop, and still buying MacBook Pros.
Yeah.
They're not going Air. You want the only reason you want an Air is for you're going to carry it around a lot, or you want the status symbol, or you don't particularly need anything, you know, particularly powerful. You're just doing, you know, web stuff, email, bit of editing here and there. You're not doing anything particularly taxing. It's essentially a netbook. Whereas if you're doing video editing of any great size or, you know, image editing, then you do need the processing horsepower and the memory that you get in a MacBook Pro.
Mm. I mean, I do a lot of work in virtual machines, and that's not something I think a MacBook Air could handle. I mean, the MacBook Pro even chokes on it sometimes, depending on what I'm doing.
Mm. Go on, Will.
I was going to say, in the tax office, do you think they do lots of taxing jokes? Because you could sort of see that happening, couldn't you? They're all pretty dull anyway. So, I mean, no, seriously, I would imagine that would make the long winter evenings fly by. Would you like a cup of tea, John? That sounds very taxing.
Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what it's like, yes.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, Will Green is here for another 20 minutes for your enjoyment.
Have you ever done cabaret?
I have done cabaret.
The places he's burned down and the rooms he's cleared, mate.
I closed down Telford Shopping Centre once.
With a smoke machine.
With a smoke machine.
Yeah, that's the fourth time you've told that story on this show.
Is it?
Yes, it is, mate. You need to get the Alzheimer's tablets going.
I've got some Viagra. Oh, it doesn't matter.
You've got Viagra?
Yeah, well, I
is this going back to your Soho story?
No, it wasn't. But I've got it. And I don't know what to do with it.
It's not a suppository. If that helps.
I sort of got given it, and I'm thinking I've got to a certain age.
Did your wife give it you? Because that's a hint.
No. I got given. I didn't buy it, and I got quite a bit of it as well. I was thinking, what shall I do with it? Do you want some, Ewan?
Is this the new British Tech Mac giveaway contest?
Well, it's blue. I mean, it's kind of Mac-esque.
Yeah.
I think actually, when people see Macs, Viagra has a similar effect. So there is a tie-in there, no?
Oh, that is true. No, that's true. You really walk by an Apple shop and you go, boy, you do.
If the excitement about the iPad lasts more than 12 hours, please seek a genius.
Oh, man.
I could bring it to your Bagel Tech meetup if you want.
Yeah,
we could all take one and see what happens.
We'll crumble it in the punch. Apparently, no. I'm told, I am only told, I've not tried this, but I'm told that if you bake muffins and you powder it in, it has a similar effect.
Powder it in what?
Into a muffin.
Yes.
If you bake a muffin and you powder in a Viagra, it does the same thing. There you go.
But it will do because there's Viagra in there, isn't it? Well, so what you're saying is if you make a muffin and put Viagra in, it's the same as eating Viagra.
Yeah, but no, I'm talking about it's a way of introducing it into the conversation differently. There you go. So people would make like fudge brownies and stuff out of cannabis. Right. Apparently the Viagra trick for muffins still works. I haven't tried it.
Is muffin a slang term for the same thing in the UK? Just checking.
Oh. Hey, how about that iTunes update? How about that?
Squash some bugs. Photo syncing works a lot better now. No more crashing during videos.
I was just about to do the sponsors bit again, and I can't now. Because if they can find out who we've associated with Viagra. UK2.net, they are the people that provide all the hosting and bandwidth for this network, and we'd be lost without them. And they are kind of like Viagra for your web services, because they will make sure that you you stay present on the internet regardless of what comes at you. We've got no end of problems with people downloading stuff from us. How dare they? And they never let us down. They give us all the bandwidth that we need, and they support the network immensely. So please support UK2 in return if you like British Tech. We've got some great stuff with them. They've got great deals at the moment on VPS servers. They've also got some great stuff on dedicated servers. And they've got a fantastic program called Site Builder that they've added 50 new templates to, and there's a competition running at the moment. If you go to the UK2 website, please use the click through on britishtechnews.com, but when you go through, if you look at the competition, there's a judging panel for a selection of sites that have been built with Site Builder. You pick the one that you like the most and vote, and when you've voted, you get entered into a draw for a brand new iPad 3. There you go. The iPad, sorry. So go down there, have a look, and Site Builder's really fantastic, really, really powerful. Carl, that does the photo show, has had a real good play with it, and he thinks it's absolutely wonderful. UK2.net, if you want to buy anything from them, use the off-code BagelTech, 15% off, and BagelDNS gets your domain name management service transfer charge thing wiped off the bill as well, so that's £20 before you even begin. Please support them. We love them to bits.
Thank you so much, Ewan, for making the screen transparent again. I can peek around the sign.
Yeah, no, you can't, you see, because I've kind of left it opaque because I haven't done the thing. Now you're back. Oh, now you're flickering. There you go. It's no good. Right. Have we got any cool things, Mr. Green?
Yes.
Did you bring a cool thing?
I bought two.
Viagra.
Two Viagras.
Two Viagras.
Have you taken more than one, mate?
I haven't taken any.
Oh, you got to take one, mate.
I've had it for a few years now. I've only got a sell by date, but to be honest, I mean, like, with a man with a...
Should we go on to the pick, mate? Let's
I'm sorry. I said
I don't want to edit this weekend.
No. Well, okay. I'll leave that then. Right. Good. So I've got two chases. There's a great film that's available. I only learned about it the other day. It's with Rob Brydon and Steve Coogan. And what's the fat one out of the Welsh comedy? What's his name?
James. What's his name?
Yeah.
James begins with a C.
Earl Jones? James Earl Jones?
No,
famous Welsh comedian James Earl Jones.
That's right.
Build it and they will come, Ray, I'm telling you.
James Coleman?
Anyway, go on.
Yeah.
Will, for God's sake, get on with the pick, man.
It wasn't me doing the voices.
Come on.
Right.
It's a film.
It's a film. Film. It's a BBC one. And
two words.
It's full of all these big stars from here it is. Cruise of the Gods. Cruise of the Gods, yeah.
Right.
So it's got, and I think David Walliams is in there as well.
Right.
And I really wanted to buy it, and I looked on Amazon, it was $5.99, and I thought I'd just check if it's on iTunes, and it is, it's £1.89, and it's a fantastic film. It's these guys go on a cruise, and it's about geeks. It's like a geek cruise, really, and sci-fi and stuff. So I thought it would appeal to many many tech listeners.
Thanks, mate. And it's available on iTunes?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I've said that.
And the price again?
£1.89.
Very good.
And my second one is for iOS, and it's called Palm Reader. And it's 69 pence. And so what you do is you press like new reading, and then you sort of line up with the camera. You line up your palm with the camera, and then you take a photo. which I'm doing now. I can't do it.
Hold on. You didn't have a picture of your palm already done?
Oh, I have actually, haven't I? I have.
I can't believe you're recommending something you haven't tried, so you must have
No, I've done it already. And it sort of analyses your palm and tells me, so it says, your hand shape indicates you're creative. Your hand shape indicates that you can be very stubborn at times. Your Mount of Upper Mars shows that you have a very strong energy and enthusiasm for life. That's actually pointing at my genes, so I don't know what that means. I'm going to be very financially successful, and my wrist bracelet lines suggest that I'm going to live a very long life. So that's my second reading, if you want to feel good about it.
Well, last time I was at your house, you told me genetics said you were going to die at 40.
That's what my mum told me, not genetics.
Oh, right, okay. What's your mum now? She's not Gypsy Rose Lee, is she? Obviously.
Will Green Psychic Friends Network.
So, palm reader, 69p, worth every penny.
Worth every penny, and the film in particular is great. It's about an hour. And the good, nice thing is, it's categorized as a TV show. So if you download it from iTunes, you can watch it on your Apple TV, stream it, because you can't do that in the UK with movies yet. So you could, that's rather nice. But
jolly good. So why don't you get your iOS device out, and you can go down to Telford Shopping Centre, and you could say, cross my iOS device with silver, and I'll tell you your fortune.
We're not trying to convince that bloke. Who's the guy who does Macworld?
Who does Macworld? Paul Kent?
Yeah, I was trying to convince him to let me have a tent to summon the spirit of Steve Jobs.
What, at Macworld?
At Macworld, Gypsy Will Green.
And he wasn't interested in that?
He didn't seem to be, did he?
No, right.
He's a fool. The man's not a visionary.
At Macworld, you're going to have a seance to try and summon up the spirit of Steve Jobs, and he walked away.
He walked away.
Not a real Mac show then, was it?
It wasn't, no. He was, Tom, he wasn't a fool, a very nice man.
Tom Merritt sitting in the corner pulling faces thinking, I had a career before I came on this thing.
No, I didn't.
Andy, what you got for us, pal?
I've gone for a bit of hardware this week. I'm going for the Blue Microphones Icicle. It's an XLR to USB converter. So you plug in your XLR mic into the Icicle, plug that into your Mac. No drivers, no software, no nothing. It just works. Brilliant, mate.
Price?
About £38 on Amazon at the moment.
No, it's not horrific. That'll do. That's what you're currently using, is it?
It's what I'm currently using, yeah.
Oh, you sound super gorgeous and slick, mate. Better than your normal humming that goes on in the background.
Cheers, mate.
Shame you haven't said much, though.
No.
Kyle, what have you got for us, pal?
Another free app, of course. Regardless if you're a fan of Fox News or not, because some people are not. I happen to like Fox News, and I love their app. It is fantastic. It puts CNNs and BBCs to complete crap. Unfortunately, there's no network right now. I can't get network. But what I love about this thing, it's an awesome app. You've got a ticker at the bottom. You can sort by either video or by stories. Constantly scrolling across the top. Sometimes you can go to live video if they're doing different live events, particularly in this election period and stuff. I just thought it was really fantastic, and it looks even great. And it's like you're watching, like, it's like how TV could be in the future. The ticker's at the bottom, stuff is going, you choose the content you want. I just was in love with it. The screen, so that's could my be- pick.
So is that might only be available in the US store though?
I don't think so. I think you can get it in, as far as I know, it's also available in the Philippines store over here. So,
all right, okay.
It's a free app. So, and excellent. Of course, it's a sister company, I think, of Sky News. So,
yeah, we've got a ton of stuff from Fox, though, that when you click it and play it, it says, oh, this video is not available in your region. So, but
these good. Are clips, so it may be work. Yeah, it's an excellent app and free.
Thank you, mate. Excellent. Mr. Merritt, do you have a cool thing?
I've got this lovely Ahmad T of London. Collective, no, I'm just kidding.
Will and Kate. And,
Collective 10. No. But have you guys talked about Sparrow already?
I think we've had Sparrow on in the past, but there's been a lot of updates lately. So talk us through Sparrow.
Yeah, there's a new update to the app. There is an app now on iOS. Sparrow's a mail client, and you can get it in the App Store and the Mac and use it as a desktop client. Yeah. But now they have a version for iOS, both iPad and iPhone. And it's just, it's a much better way of managing your email on iOS than the default mail client. I use the default mail client all the time and it's fine, but just Sparrow does a really good job of sort of taking advantage of the actual interface and swipe ability. It makes it easier to kind of work through your boxes. A few friends of mine just absolutely swear by it. And so, you know, if you liked it on the desktop, now that you can use it on iOS as well. The only negative about it is you cannot set it as a default mail client. So your default mail client's still going to be mail in iOS, but just for reading and managing, it's still worth it, I think.
Bit of Apple control kicking in. Good pick. Yeah. What's the price again?
Free.
Good.
Woohoo.
Tight ass swagger loves free. My pick is because I found it by default. I had the application for my little daughter that was a ripoff, but someone recommended another application called Lunchbox, which is for kids, and it's a little monkey that's really kind of cute. And when she looked at it, she went, "Oh, George," as in George of the Jungle, Curious George. And when you play it, it's dead simple. It gets you to play little tiny matching games, and you can sit and count baskets of fruit and count fruit into baskets with the monkey. And she responds really well to the monkey as a kind of guide through it. And it was free. There you go.
Woohoo!
And it's great. She plays it. She loves it. And all the stuff in it's free of charge. And it doesn't ask you for in-app purchases. And it doesn't give you any adverts.
Does the blue icicle thing support phantom pair mics?
It does, yeah. That's what I'm using at the moment, yeah.
Ooh.
It's really good, isn't it?
For 38 quid.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I can order one right now.
Yeah. Jolly good. Right then, Tom, we're going to be officially opened now. You are on a guest, yes. Very Have you got exciting. A speech?
No. Was I supposed to prepare a speech?
Well, we this weekend, we've made the official jump. We're no longer Bagel Tech. Bagel Tech has disappeared. The bagel is dead. Long live the British. We are the British Tech Network, and all of the shows that go out this week are going to be British Tech Network. It's going to go out on a new website called britishtechnetwork.com, and all of the iTunes feeds that you had for Bagel Tech, we're going to dual post for about the next 2 weeks, but then everything will stop, and you need to resubscribe in iTunes. When we've got that sorted out there, we'll give you a panel on the main website, and you'll be able to just single click subscribe to everything. But we will have new feeds and that kind of stuff, because one of the things that we've got is goes back 3 years when I started Bagel Tech. There's tons of feeds floating around with all sorts of crap on it. We've got one version of Bagel Tech that stopped 18 months ago, and it still pops up in iTunes. People are still posting reviews to it. So I think when we get changed over as well, we're going to have a little competition for transferring your reviews over for the new feed so that we can kind of get a bit bolstered up. But today is our first official day, and Mr. Merritt has been asked here to manfully open us officially. So over to you, mate.
How would you prefer that this be done?
Just confirm us as open or something. I don't know.
All right, here, I'll change into an appropriate ceremonial hat.
Oh, see, I knew you'd prepared.
And here we go.
Oh, Pipe Smoker of the Year, as awarded by Will Green.
Yeah. I declare this tech network British.
Yes.
And open.
Thank you.
Yes.
Excellent. Round of applause, chat room. Thank you. We haven't got any beer at the moment. We've got no champagne to crack over the barrels. We're going to have to start drinking now. But we're going to have a Google Hangout, so come and join us. Every Friday we have one after the show. Do join in. Do bring beer, regardless of where you live in the world. Have a great week and a great weekend. Thank you ever so much, Tom. Thank you ever so much, guys. See you next week.
You never did my Soho story.
No.
All the way we can get us.
We still haven't figured out explicit tags, mate. We'll do it next
time. You didn't even tell us where people can find us or anything.
Even when there's no frigging credits, you bastards want to talk over them.
Just saying.
That's a good point, actually. You didn't say where you could get us.
Just let it roll. This is how we are. If we're not going to change, just let the crap roll.
And smooth as silk, where can we get a hold of you, Will?
Well, it's nice that you've redone this, because I suppose you're going to edit this into the start, are you, at the end?
I'm going to edit it into the end, yeah.
Yeah, because you forgot.
No, yeah. Thanks, mate.
That's right. You can get hold of me. depends how much Viagra I've had. So in various locations. But
in a marquee.
The main one will be British Mac, I suppose. BritishMac.com.
Does taking Viagra give you problems with memory?
I haven't tried it yet. I haven't tried it. As I say, we'll give it a go at the old bagel tech thing.
We're going to give it a go. We'll make some Viagra muffins for the Bagel Tech Bash.
But it should be Viagra.
July 6th. Yeah, there we go. Andy, where can we get hold of you, mate?
I'm at Longball on Twitter, or you can get me via the London Mac User Group at lmug.org.uk.
Thank you very much.
And soon to be Baconium as well. That'll be launching next month.
Baconium will be on next month, and the iOS podcast will launch on the new network as well now, so 1st of April. They're all coming out. Yep. We've got Worlds Apart as well, which is another podcast.
I will actually say stuff on the iOS podcast.
Yeah, very chatty you are today, Matt. Is it just because your girlfriend's gone home?
Yeah.
Oh, he's lonely. Will's got some Viagra. Kyle, where can we get you, mate?
KyleSwagger.com or on Twitter at KyleSwagger.
Thanks, mate. And Tom, where can we get a hold of you, mate?
TomMerritt.com is where I collect all of the stuff that I do in one place. If you find Tom Merritt on Twitter, I own that account, and it'll tell you how to find my real Twitter account, which is ridiculously spelled.
Now, you're still doing Sword and Laser, aren't you?
Yeah, actually, we just launched a new version of it as well. The Sword and Laser audio podcast, which is science fiction and fantasy books, is still going on. But starting April 13th on Felicia Day's Geek and Sundry Network on YouTube, we're going to be doing a video version of the show as well.
Ooh, excellent.
Tom, you're saying, so if you want to follow you on Twitter, you follow Tom Merritt, and that will tell you how to follow you.
No, I'm saying if you want to follow me on Twitter, go to twitter.com/TomMerritt, and then it'll tell you in there what my actual Twitter name is. It's like a little, it's like you have to earn it to follow me.
That's an entry level test.
How's that work then? What's that then?
Well, you failed it, obviously, Greeny.
Oh, man. So, I don't matter.
Can we go now?
Yes.
Bye.
Let's go. Bye-bye.